This is a Cortez Radio news update. At their June 14th meeting, the Strathcona Regional District Board moved that a letter be sent to the Ministry of Forests encouraging the province to become more involved in research and the distribution of science-based information. As Mayor Martin Davis of Tassis, who made the motion, explained,
in the last several years, there's been a real drop-off in participation of Ministry of Forests in providing a lot of this background and research that we would hope would be impartial. And I think that's a real lack. Like, to depend on the logging companies for our information is really not the best place to be going for this. There should be independent research that we can depend on.
The idea came out of the SRD's Municipal Services Committee, where Charlie Cornfield, one of the more influential of the five Campbell River directors that recently carried placards at a pro-industry rally, agreed.
It has always been a problem to find an acceptable source of information. Can I call it that, Martin? I argued very strongly in the 80s when I attended EnviroFor in Ottawa that we needed the federal government to be that unbiased expert opinion. You know, it was an acceptable thing because they're removed from forest management for the most part in this province. It's provincial. Source of information that the public trusts, and that's always been a problem. And I agree that the ministry has not taken that unbiased approach and have not been forthcoming. So yeah, I agree with you on that. They could be doing a lot more.
It was one of the few points that Cornfield and Davis could agree on. Mayor Brad Unger of Gold River, Mayor Andy Adams of Campbell River, and Campbell River directors Colleen Evans, Ron Kerr, and Cornfield were all praising a meeting they had with the forestry sector the previous day.
We had all of the major forest companies on the North Island present, and members from the Truck Loggers Association and COFI, and was a very healthy and engaging process with all parties involved as we continue to work with the forest sector as it plays a significant role in the economy for the entire North Island.
Sid Adams.
A well-put-together agenda on the forestry concerns, challenges in the future, well-represented from the North Island, so it was really good to see.
Sid Unger.
I think if we could clone Susan Yurkovic, there would be absolutely no issues. We could win the media war on this issue because she was that good, that well-prepared. And it honestly made me feel optimistic and positive for the first time in a long time.
Said Kerr, to which Evans added,
I agree with Director Kerr that I think having an SRD presence and some letters of support and ongoing discussions with the ministers just adds increased value.
She alluded to an impending publicity campaign.
They have what they were calling simple fact sheets that really break it down into common language, help with myth busting. And I'm just recommending that those be distributed to the SRD as well, because I think it is about having a broader, broader scope of everybody talking the same language and stating the same facts over and over again. They talked about how important it was for storytelling and helping people really resonate with the types of stories that the marketing campaign that they're going to be doing. And I think we as directors all need to be sharing the same facts when we're having the conversations with residents.
The difficulty right now is there's a lot of misinformation out there. We'll use misinformation as the most tame comment that I've got regarding storage of carbon, fighting climate change, sustainability, old growth management, a lot of information that's not true.
Said Cornfield.
If you look at the communities that benefit from forestry, Campbell River is number three in the province. So Vancouver Lower Mainland's number one, Prince George's number two, and Campbell River is number three. We're talking an industry in excess of $250 million a year annually is what it contributes. Now, I should use TLA's comment in the 5 minutes that I've been talking. 10,000 trees were planted, and there was $7 million contributed to the local economy. 0.25% of the old growth gets harvested in any given year. Very, very small percentage point. There is a real concern with the bias on the old growth committee that the government has set up. And I think it's important that people know about that. In Canada, we produce 730 million tons of CO2 per year, and that was in 2019. Western Forest Products has a net positive carbon balance of 14.2 million tons. So they actually store way more carbon than what they produce through the manufacture, milling, harvesting, trucking, and everything else. It's 14.2 million, and that's in their tenures down here. 70% of all the old growth within their tenures is already conserved. So people that run around saying, my good, 5 years, there won't be any old growth left, they're absolutely incorrect. And that's only on Western's tenure and doesn't include parklands that had never been in inventory. So a lot of disinformation that really makes it difficult for the industry to function in keeping people employed and families, communities like ours going. Believe me, everybody on the North Island's community is forest dependent. You don't know until it's not there. And I'm not willing to trust that to others.
There was one director who took a different tack. Mayor Martin Davis said,
This carbon cycle issue, I'd be curious to see the statistics on that. I know when I was sitting on the Climate Caucus, one of the things I was raising there was it'd be really good to see some sort of carbon accounting with the forest industry, and we're unable to find anything that fully took into account not just the logging and the tree planting, but the emissions from burning of waste, because I know a huge amount of waste is burnt, well, all over BC, but definitely on Vancouver Island. In fact, myself, I worked in the forest industry for 40 years. So this first year, I haven't actually done any of that because I've been too busy with this. But I was appalled at the amount of usable wood waste that is getting burned across this region. I know in some cases when there's road access, we have many people within our community that are not only cutting firewood from this waste, but are actually taking it and stockpiling it themselves and milling it. I'm talking about yellow cedar and fir and all of that. And yet so much of this is burned because it's not considered commercial. And there certainly needs to be better accounting of the carbon emissions from the burning. And I would love to see some facts regarding that. Charlie, I see you have your hand up. I'm assuming you want to respond.
Well, Western has done a complete total calculation of their carbon, which is how they get a net positive carbon balance. They have looked at every single one of their operations, ones that produce. But if I can, just to talk a little bit about burning wood, is one of the most environmentally sound ways of providing heat and everything else, being it does not produce greenhouse gases. Wood is part of the current energy cycle. You only get the climate changing impacts when you're burning fossil fuels. That's the big one. The rest is all natural. Whether you burn it, you only affect the decomposition time-wise. When debris is left on the ground, and there is a lot of debris that is left on site, it accumulates the biomass. When it rots, it produces CO2 as well. And when it's left there for all the right ecological reasons, it returns nutrients to the ground. It is not a bad thing. It would be nicer, we think, and we feel as people, that if there is a greater level of utilization, that that's a good thing. You know, we want to see more wood being used, but you also have to balance that on the fact that when you use it, you're now removing that biomass from the natural cycle of providing nutrients into the soil. If you look at a tree, rapidly growing young trees sequester a lot of carbon, and those are called growth decay curves. So each species of tree, each different site class, whether it's poor, medium, or high classified site, you project how much carbon is stored. That's the growth and curve, and it goes up very steeply. So much so, biological rotation in our area near here is usually considered around, on average, 80 to 120 years. So that's stored the maximum amount of carbon in the minimum amount of time. After 120 years, the growth curve starts to level off. Trees absorb carbon dioxide and produce oxygen. So about 200 years, it's in balance. Once the forest goes on average, this is not in every case, but and not all forests are old, and on, it's a mixture of young. There's a lot of diversity in forests. But once you get past that 200 years, it starts to go the other way. And in fact, they become net producers of carbon dioxide. As things rot, it produces that. And so the whole issue, what people think of as old growth or massive monumental trees, you know, those big diameter, huge trees, you walk in it, it's like walking in a park. There's areas out near Tassus in the Artlish country, well, down on the way to Fair Harbor. Gold River has got some really nice stuff, not in parks, but it is like a park. These large trees, very open underneath. They do not sequester as much carbon. They're on the way down. They're starting to die off.
I've recently seen some research that was saying quite the opposite, that in fact, old growth is a better carbon capturing, not sure what you would call it, than what we're seeing in young forests. Young forests certainly start to capture a lot of carbon after 10 to 15 years, but it's a net emission up to that point based on the research that I have read.
While there was undoubtedly a wide range of opinion as to what this would mean, the Municipal Services Committee unanimously agreed to ask the Ministry of Forests to become more involved in research and distribution of science-based forest information. The regional directors expressed their opinions when the matter came before the entire board on July 14th. Gerald Wally observed that
since provincial government involved itself in stewardship agreements with industry, it has left it up to industry to provide all its scientific background for the things that it does, and really the ministry has very little to do with it.
Regional Director Jim Abram suggested a slight change to the wording, which was rejected. A considerable amount of time had already been expended finding words that could be supported by directors of such diverse opinions. Noba Anderson wanted to know
what this is getting at. I have no idea. What are we wanting the ministry to do? To send out research to whom? About what? For what purpose? Is this an anti-old growth logging? Is this a pro-log? I just have no clue where this comes from.
After hearing Martin Davis's explanation, she said,
if whoever's going to write it has a really clear sense of what this is about, and it is what Director Davis just said, that's fine.
The motion passed with a unanimous vote